was a very popular Christian king. Jubillah bin Ayham. He accepted Islam. He was of Arab stock, and he had come and attended the Hajj. The kings and the monarchs of that era were very, very wealthy, very prosperous, very influential. Some of them were so wealthy and influential that at any given time there were about 15,000-20,000 attendants just attending to them. Then they had every type of amusement, birds and tame birds and animals, and the type of fantasy and excitement you can dream of, you see. So with all his pomp and glory, he had come for Hajj. 60,000-70,000 people of his all come for Hajj. In the Hajj and Umrah, then just two pieces of cloth adorned, the lower garment and the upper garment. There you cannot differentiate a king from a pauper. It wasn't like this zamana, where if the king has to make Umrah or Tawaf, then there is a full security, all the Hajis and all the Umrah people are removed, and it's made exclusive for the king and his entourage. In that zamana, be it the king or be it the pauper, all will make Umrah or Hajj and Tawaf all at one and the same time. Now, whilst he's in the midst of the Tawaf, and it happens that a villager, ordinary villager, Bedouin, his foot tramps upon this king's lower garment. Now, you got just the lower garment and the top, upper garment. Now, you can imagine if someone trampled on the lower garment, and what happens? So, for that moment, his body was revealed. He felt very embarrassed about himself, and he slapped the villager, caused an injury. Perhaps he lost his tooth or something. So the villager went and complained to Umar radiallahu anhu, this is what happened. Umar radiallahu anhu, being the Amir, had to listen to both sides of the story. He summoned Jibillah. Okay, this is the complainant. What is your side of the story? Jibillah had nothing else but to accept and confess that he is guilty of slapping the Bedouin. Umar radiallahu anhu ruled, wal juruha qisas. The Quranic law is injuries are treated equally. You injured me, فَمَنِ اَعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ فَاَعْتَدُمْ عَلَيْهِ بِمِثْلِ مَا اَعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ. A like for a like. Injury, like for like. وَالْجُرُوحَ قِصَاصٌ. Like for like. You broke that person's tooth, so he's got the right to do the same. You bust his eye, he's got the right to do the same. فَمَنْ أُفِيَ لَهُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ شَيْءٌ فَاتِّبَاعٌ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. That's the one option that the oppressed has, that is to demand for a punishment of equality. And the second right he's got is فَمَنْ أُفِيَ لَهُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ شَيْءٌ فَاتِّبَاعٌ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. That if he wants, he can demand blood money and forgive the wrong that was done to him. The wrong was done, he can forgive the wrong, but he can also demand for blood money. to compensate for the injury that was caused to him. So Umar radiallahu anhu told him, see, you have injured this person, he's got the right. Now, he was scratching his head, I am such a powerful, mighty person, millions of people under me, and I have so many attendants, I'm sitting on the laps of wealth. And then this ordinary villager, he's not even ranking my ordinary attendant. He's got the right to come and slap me across the face. How can I allow this? Where's my respect? Where's my integrity? What will be my reputation? But it's the Amirul Mu'mineen. He's got no choice. What does he do? So he says to Umar radiallahu anhu, can you spare me one night that I may consider, I may think about my options? He said, well, this is left to the villager. If the villager wants to give you the type of respite for one additional day, then that's his prerogative. I cannot push him into accepting it. He's willing, very good. But if he's not willing, then I can't coerce him. Anyway, he got talking to the villager. Imagine the king, and he has to plead to a villager. The villager says, all right, one day is one day. Not more than one day. As Umar radiallahu anhu impressed upon us that, and the rest of the world, that your accepting Islam is not a feather in the cap of Islam. It's a feather on your cap, not on the cap of Islam. You accept Islam, mashallah, very good for you. So he left this precedent that whether it's going to be a king that's going to be accepting Islam or a pauper that's going to be accepting Islam, we will not discriminate. As far as the law is concerned, it will be one and the same that will be applied to the pauper and to the wealthy. So that the poor that is accepting Islam, he feels strong that I've got so much of security and so much of respect. And the wealthy and influential that is accepting Islam, he may not extort anybody. He may not cross the lines, thinking I am such an influential person, such a mighty person, then I can jump the lines. So the poor doesn't feel weak, he doesn't feel defenseless, he doesn't feel helpless, and the wealthy, the mighty and the strong doesn't forget his lines, he doesn't forget his limits. So this is my limit, I can't cross the limit. So he also has to be cautious, and he also feels secure and strong. Now when there is this level of justice, obviously, then the whole Islamic country is going to enjoy a very high level, a very high level of peace, a very high, great level of happiness. Living in the confines of your home, so happy, you are so at ease, mentally you are so much at ease. And you are living in the laps of luxury, but that doesn't give you the right to extort anybody. So both are happy in their own ways, both know their limits, and both know that these are the parameters that I can live within. So as Umar radiallahu anhu insists, no, this is the Islamic right, Islamic law, you have got an option, the villager has got an option, whether he retaliates to the extent of the injury that was caused to him, or if he wants, he can ask for blood money. That option is his. I can't go and coerce him. Now the king himself has to go and plead to this person. The king himself has to go and plead to this person. And then, in executing the law, these people were so cautious, so careful. Umar radiallahu anhu is walking in the street of Madinah Munawwara. There is a strong gush of wind. A woman's skirt raised up. Umar radiallahu anhu was very, very angry, very much angered. He raised his whip to lash this woman. Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu is amongst those 10 people who've been given the glad tiding of Jannat. So Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas cautions Umar radiyallahu, see, this is no fault of this woman. She had covered her body correctly. The wind had caused this skirt of hers to be raised. So you've got no right to lash this woman. And see, because you are treating her unjustly, I'm going to curse you. Hazrat Umar radiallahu was so terrified that he held onto the lips of Hazrat Sa'd, gave him his whip, says, I retract, I ask for forgiveness, but please don't curse. Please don't curse me. From the Amir, from the position of authority, of strength and of might, to the position of helplessness, but both feel themselves to be absolutely strong. I don't need any additional security. Anyway, Jibillah ibn Ayham, when he seen this, he says, the better thing for me is to flee, escape Medina Munawwara. I'll escape all the punishment, all the consequence I'll escape. He left Medina Munawwara. He returned. Later on, there was some group of Sahaba-e-Kiram that were walking in that same direction. Jibillah, because it was Jibillah's territory and Jibillah had reneged, he had turned away from Islam. So he called them, and when he called them, so they noticed when they had been speaking about Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so they saw that Jibillah bin Ayham is also saying Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then when Jibillah extended some type of greeting, they said, Salamu ala manittaba al huda. The return that is given to a non-Muslim. If a non-Muslim greets you, then you say, Salamu ala manittaba al huda. So they asked, Jibillah asked them, but why do you greet me like this? Said, well, that's a greeting of a non-Muslim. You have reneged, so we can't honor you with Alaykum Assalam. We'll have to say, Assalamu ala manittaba al huda. So Jibillah cried at that moment and he said, had I just swallowed my pride at that moment, I could have taken that slap from that bird wind, allow my tooth to be broken. That was very simple. Now the misery that I'm going through, the mental trauma that I'm going through, that I realize from Islam, really, really it's eating me up. I can't live with myself. I can't live with this consciousness. I have stumbled and I have stumbled so badly that I've turned away from Islam. So, when we see Islam, then outwardly it seems to be very, very simple. Outwardly it's a straightforward, simple thing. But then you just press the wrong button on Islam and you see the whole thing turns around you. Allah Ta'ala made it such, so simple that the simplest and the weakest of persons, they can practice it. And so simple that the person that is the weakest financially, in every respect is weak, but he can escalate to the highest of the ranks. So the doors of Islam are opened. Right? The doors of comfort are open. Islam will welcome you. And it will embrace you with both arms it will embrace you. But then if you go and press the wrong button, and the whole Islam turns against you. You go and try it out. You go and experiment. And you try and take advantage. And you see the whole thing, where the whole Islam was embracing you, now the whole Islam is against you. So, no sky can give you the type of solace and tranquility that you are in search of. No earth can give it to you. The earth can't give it to you. The mountains can't give it to you. The sky can't give it to you. One youngster, I was extremely handsome, extremely handsome. And he used to be attending namazes in the nearby masjid. and some girls had been eyeing him. Because of his beauty and his handsomeness, they used to throw love letters to him. He would just ignore everything, ignore it altogether. One day, one girl somehow she trapped him and said, "You know, you are right at the entrance of the masjid. I know your level of taqwa. Right? But have some consideration for me. Your love, the love that I have for you, has gone so deep into me. It's because of you that I'm living. The whole day passes just with your thought. When night falls and I have to cover myself with a sheet, that it is your thought and it is me. It's nobody besides me and yourself. I get up with your memories. I go to sleep with your memories. So my life is as though yourself. My life is you. My getting up is yourself. My going to sleep is yourself. My eating, my sleeping, my drinking is you. Now I've got no solace. I've got no peace but yourself. Now have some consideration. Have some respect for me at least." The youngster completed his faraz namaz as usual. In the older days, they used to perform the nafal and the sunnahs at home. But now, because people have become very relaxed in respect to the sunnahs, therefore the ulama kiram say that rather you read your sunnahs in the masjid, because if you go home, then you will totally leave out the sunnah. You won't read it at home, nor will you read it in the masjid. So that you don't miss it out completely, say, if you can read it, you are 100% that you will read it at home, then it's better for you to read your sunnahs and nafils at home. But you got 1% doubt, perhaps I'll go home, the environment of the home will just consume me. You don't gamble. You don't put yourself into this type of dilemma. Rather, you read your sunnahs and then you leave. So he went home, and in his sunnahs, this thought of this girl has consumed him. So immediately after the 2 rakats of Zuhr sunnahs, he addresses the girl, "Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, so and so to so and so girl." And then he writes there, "When a man commits a wrong for the first time, then Allah Ta'ala is Ghafoorur Rahim, Allah Ta'ala forgives him. It's wiped as though it's forgotten. First time is the first time offense. You're young in your youth, and the heat of your youth, you have done something. Allah Ta'ala understands, He's created you. It's a first offense, so He overlooks it. But then when it becomes a routine, second time, third time, you are flouting the law of Allah Ta'ala, you are disregarding Allah Ta'ala's command, His magnificence, His presence, you have totally forgotten that. Then He says, the earth gradually then closes up onto you, constricts itself upon you. The heavens with all its vastness, they all constrain itself. The earth with all its expanse, it tightens up upon you. Then you can be the king of the entire world, but still you feel constrained within yourself. You feel constricted. You feel everything is just tightening up upon you. How is this tightening upon you? Is when you have opened up a war with Allah Ta'ala. You have gone on a war path to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Then I ask you, which sky can give you the type of shelter? Which earth can give you the type of security? Nobody can give it to you. It may just appear to you that I've got such a wide expanse to live in. I'm living in so much. But there is no enjoyment. There's absolutely no, it's void. Enjoyment has been purged out. It's been moved out. It's been absolutely, you've been absolutely deprived of all the enjoyment. So he writes up to this girl, he says, when a person is a first-time offender, Allah Pak overlooks. Allah Pak is a Ghafoor Rahim, and He's the creator, He knows, right? Young person, now he committed a mistake, first-timer. So Allah Ta'ala will forgive. Second time, Allah Ta'ala forgive. But then it becomes a routine. You're seeing life, you know, and you're seeing the movements of life. You're seeing the ups and the downs of life. You're seeing the changes in life. Someone is dying, someone is born, same day. Man passes away and then someone is born. See? and then you see someone wealthy and then the wealth going away. Then you're seeing a person in a power, in a position of power, and then suddenly you see that power has been taken away from him. Mursi was the king, he was the prime minister, and suddenly he's moved away and he's replaced. And before that, Mubarak was the king, and he's overnight, there's an overthrow and someone else comes into his place. So you see this, don't you see this play all the time? So izzu man tasha wa tuzillu man tasha. He honors whoever he wishes and he dishonors whoever he wishes. So you can just make the movements. Man is intelligent, capable, and something goes off and then he can't speak. With all his intelligence, all his influence, he can't do anything. He's hospitalized, but he just starts staring, no response. Don't you see all that happening? I look and marvel at the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. And also try and understand your limitation, your helplessness and your weakness. See? So when we are embarking on any wrong, be it with the eye, be it with the tongue, be it with the ear, be it with the heart, think of the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala, what control He's got over you. In a second He can smash you to pieces. You can be there all in one piece, but then you are like a human cabbage. Don't you see that happening? Don't you hear about these type of things? So is there anything that you can be proud about? Anything that you can be arrogant about? Anything that you can fall into self-conceit about? Can you admire yourself? You can't. No self-admiration. So when you look at this, this is what Allah is exhorting us, He's inviting us towards it. See, وَكَأَيِّمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهَا وَهُمْ عَنْهَا. So many signs of Allah Ta'ala you see. In the day, in the night, in the morning, in the evening, when you're travelling, open your eyes. Allah encourages you to travel. But travel not biased. Travel not prejudiced. Open your eyes. See the dwellings of wrongdoers, sinners. Go see on Qabristan. You think about the person, what power, what might, what influence, what contacts he had. Where is contacts today? Where is the influence? Where is the intelligence that he had? That person that was so healthy, strong, he has a bundle of energy, and today he's so weak, he's gone. Where is his energy? Where is his strength? Can you replace that strength of his? Now, this is what Allah Pak wants, that you see all these things. Travel, whether in Jamaat, whether you travel like that, Umrah, wherever you're traveling, America, wherever you're traveling, but with an open eye. Think, analyze, understand. And then you come to the conclusion that this is that Al-Qadir. Huwa Al-Qadir. He is the magnificent. He is the powerful. He controls. So when the controls are with him, what should I do? I don't have any say. I don't have any influence. I don't have any say in this matter. He is the supreme control. He is the supreme dominion. The supreme king he is. And I am absolute helpless. So what should I be doing? For me to be on the cause, for me to be in his good books, what do I do? That's all we need to do. We travel, we look around with open minds. Think carefully. Think 101 times. And if you can't think alone, then call someone. And that person must be able to assist you in thinking correctly. You will definitely come to the right conclusions. When you come to the right conclusion, now you say, what must I do? Then that thinking will lead you across. This is the only distinguishing factor between a man and an animal. People generally, when they differentiate men from animals, they say, hayawan natiq. That man is that animal that can speak. But most of our ulama say that definition is incomplete. The complete definition is hayawan mutafakkir. That animal that can think and reason, analyze, can reflect. Others can, they may have got some type of thinking capacity, but very short term. Short term, small, little, because they can only think for that. Man can think for ages, can think for generations, he think for years, think for himself, think for the entire universe. So that capacity of thought, that capacity of reflection is something unique to mankind. When you've been blessed in this unique way, then how do you show the gratitude for this? Something unique, no other animal has got. Are you prepared for one moment that I replace your intelligence with an intelligence of a monkey. They say it's closest to man. Are you prepared? No. You're not prepared. Though it's closest to man, it's intelligent, but you don't. You know that your intelligence is millions of times greater than the intelligence of a monkey, right? So you've been blessed in this supreme and unique way. So what does it require? What type of gratitude it requires of you? So when you keep reflecting, thinking, then this thinking brings you to the right. And thereafter, once you've come to the right, then remain firm. Then don't become arrogant, don't become consumed by pride or the presence of people, what people will say, and your reputation. Don't leave all that aside. Think to yourself that I've started this journey of life alone and I'm going to end it alone. There's nobody, once I die, nobody's worried about my reputation and nobody's worried about anything else of me. So I have to end it alone. So then nobody's concerned about my reputation, then I should be most concerned about myself. Not as to how do I appear in the presence of people. Umarji rahmatullahi alayhi, you should say this quite often. He says that people marry and they try to look for the most beautiful girl, right? And when they are selecting the beautiful girl, we don't oppose them for anything, but they want the beautiful girl so that their wives may become a center of admiration. So why did you marry that girl? For others to admire, or for you to admire. It's for your satisfaction, it's not for the admiration of the public. So don't worry about public reputation, what they will say and how they will view you, don't worry about that. I don't say that you must deliberately make yourself appear to be ugly, untidy, etc. There's a moderation, with the level of moderation, should be tidy, it's enough. But to go that extra mile for that reputation and that image and whatever else, really, that is not behoving of a human being. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq. Make some dua. Smile.
اللهم لك الحمد كما أنت أهله فصلي وسلم على سيدنا ومولانا محمد كما أنت أهله وفعل بنا كما أنت أهله فإنك أهل التقوى وأهل المغفرة. اللهم لك الحمد كما أنت أهله فصلي وسلم على سيدنا ومولانا محمد كما أنت أهله وفعل بنا كما أنت أهله فإنك أهل التقوى وأهل المغفرة. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا إنك جامع الناس ليوم لا ريب فيه إن الله لا يخلف الميعاد. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين وجعلنا للمتقين إماما. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. Oh Allah, forgive us. Oh Allah, forgive us. Oh Allah, we are weak. O Allah, forgive our sins of the day. O Allah, forgive our sins of the night. O Allah, forgive those sins of ours that we have committed in public. O Allah, forgive those sins of ours that we have committed secretly. O Allah, we are weak. Allahumma inna du'afa, faqawwi fi ridaka du'afana. O Allah, you are most strong. O Allah, you are all powerful. O Allah, you are almighty. O Allah, we are weak. O Allah, we are sinful. O Allah, we have limitations. O Allah, we have made so many mistakes. O Allah, overlook us. O Allah, shower your mercy on us. O Allah, shower your kindness on us. O Allah, shower your fazl on us. Allahumma absut alayna min barakatika wa rahmatika wa fadlika wa rizqik. O Allah, shower all goodness upon us. O Allah, we don't deserve it. But O Allah, you are kareem. O Allah, you give those people who don't deserve. O Allah, shower your mercy on us. O Allah, shower your forgiveness on us. O Allah, because of our shortcomings and because of our mistakes and because of our sins, O Allah, the people around us are suffering. The Muslims around the world are suffering. O Allah, forgive the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allahumma ighfir li ummati Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allahumma arham ummata Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allahumma hdi ummata Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allahumma arham ummata Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allahumma tajawaz an ummati Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allahumma ighfir lana wa lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. Innaka sami'un qareebun mujibud da'awat. اللهم اغفر لنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات اللهم اغفر لنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات O Allah, forgive the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, have mercy on the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, the Muslims around the world are going through pain and suffering. They are going through torture. O Allah, all praise belongs to you for the test that you give everyone. O Allah, all praise belongs to you and all wisdom of yours is contained in the test that you give your creation, is contained in the test that you give to us. O Allah, all praise belongs to you. Laka alhamd bima hadaytana, laka alhamd bima akramtana, laka alhamd bima satartana, laka alhamd bil ahli wal mal, laka alhamd bil mu'afat, laka alhamd bil Qur'an, laka alhamd hatta tarda, wa laka alhamd ba'da ar-rida, wa laka alhamd idha radit, ya ahl al-taqwa wa ahl al-maghfira. O Allah, all praise belongs to you. O Allah, the Muslims around the world are suffering. O Allah, relieve their sufferings. O Allah, whether it be in Egypt, whether it be in Syria, whether it be in Burma, O Allah, in Palestine, O Allah, around the world, the Muslims are suffering. O Allah, relieve their sufferings. O Allah, help them, those innocent children, and those women, and those men. O Allah, Allahumma ansuri al-muslimin al-mustada'afin fi kulli makan. Allahumma ansuri al-muslimin al-mustada'afin fi kulli makan. Allahumma ansuri al-muslimin al-mustada'afin fi kulli makan. Allahumma ansuri al-mujahideen الذين يجاهدون في سبيلك حقا لتكون كلمة الله العليا. O Allah, help and assist the Muslims around the world. O Allah, relieve their sufferings. O Allah, make their surroundings peaceful and comfortable and safe. O Allah, bless them. O Allah, make it easy for them. O Allah, relieve them. O Allah, give them good, sound, stable governments. O Allah, make their surroundings comfortable. O Allah, we in South Africa, O Allah, protect us. O Allah, we are so negligent. O Allah, we do not appreciate your bounties. O Allah, you have given us so much in the form of deen. O Allah, you have given us so much in the form of dunya. O Allah, bless us with the true understanding and the true tawfiq to make shukr of these bounties. O Allah, protect us. O Allah, allow us to continue practicing on deen. O Allah, allow us to take this deen to the four corners of this world. O Allah, let us not be shy of our deen. O Allah, let us be assertive in our deen. O Allah, let us be happy and feel a sense of honor that we are Muslims and that we are your slaves. Radina billahi rabba wa bil islam deena wa bi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rasulahu wa nabiyya. O Allah, let us in our minds, let us in our hearts, in the hearts of our families, in the hearts of our communities, let us feel from within happy that you are our Allah. Let us feel from within happy that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is our Nabi, and we have his sunnah to follow, and we have the way of Islam as our deen. O Allah, forgive us. O Allah, protect us. O Allah, Allahumma ihfazna bil Islam qa'imin, wa ihfazna bil Islam qa'idin, wa ihfazna bil Islam raqidin, wa la tushmit bina a'da wa la hasidin. O Allah, the fitna is so much. If we are standing, some of our iman can go. If we are sitting, our iman can go. If we are lying down, our iman can go. O Allah, in whatever position and posture we are, O Allah, protect our iman. Wherever we are, in whatever condition we are, O Allah, protect the iman of our families. Protect the iman of our children. Protect the iman of our surroundings. رَبِّ نَجِّنِي وَأَهْلِي مِمَّا يَعْمَلُ From the effect of the environment around us. O Allah, we are so weak. The environment is overwhelming. The environment is overpowering us. O Allah, the evil effects of the environment are within our homes. O Allah, cleanse our homes. Purge our homes from the filth that is there. O Allah, protect us and our families. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّكَ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ